think that I'm so excited. You must have a cup of tea.
Ah, yes, indeed. The tea. You must have a cup of tea.
That would be very nice.
Join us now for Tea and Turbulence, an afternoon special from EAA Radio and the National Weather Service. Here's Cloud Whisperer Randy Whitbeck on EAA Radio.
Randy Whitbeck is a meteorology student at St. Cloud State University, so remember to always personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from flight service before you go flying.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Tea and Turbulence. I'm here with Pat Murphy from the Aviation Weather Center.
Hello.
And Pat St. John, my fellow Cloud Whisperer.
Hi there.
Hi, good afternoon. So we were just actually discussing the writing that was going on in the sky there, the sky writing, and how that comes about. And we Wikipedia'd it and found that it comes from special smoke, directly from Wikipedia. But the actual description, we were just interested in it, was a typical smoke generator consists of a pressurized container holding a low viscosity oil, and it's injected into the hot exhaust manifold, causing it to vaporize into a huge amount of dense white smoke. So there's your something new today.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating.
And it's interesting, they use different oils to stick around. For like when they're doing barrel rolls, they use a different viscosity oil so it dissipates faster. But when you're writing letters and want it to stay there for a while, they'd use a different oil so that it stays a little longer. That's pretty interesting.
The special oil.
The special oil.
Special smoke with the special oil.
Special smoke, yeah. It is pretty interesting, though. We were trying to figure out what they were writing. We thought it was going to be a marriage proposal, but ended up saying Tempest?
I'm not 100% sure. I think they were. It got a little windy up there. I know EAA floated way off to the east, but he was trying to write up there. But every letter he'd do, he'd move in a good like half a mile or 4 miles, so he'd have to keep up with the lettering as it moves.
Can't control the wind, can we?
It'd be nice if we could. It'd make every pilot happy.
we could only control the weather.
Well, at least we know if the lettering stayed up there. It's got to be. It's windy, but it doesn't look too turbulent since those letterings stayed around for quite a while, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty steady wind out there today. So, good day for sky riding. Very few clouds.
Should have some very tight performances for the air show today, I would
assume. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to today because in tomorrow, what we're going to talk about here is looking not as sunny and not as nice tomorrow.
Yeah, we've had two beautiful days, haven't we?
Yeah, gorgeous weather.
83 degrees, sunny skies, just fantastic. And as a representative from the National Weather Service, I'd be more than happy to take credit for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Are you going to take credit for tomorrow,
Tina? No, I'll let you take credit for tomorrow.
Okay, so tomorrow we're looking at this frontal boundary that's moving in from the northern plains there. And it's going to be stalling out possibly over southern Wisconsin here and going to bring us some not so great weather into tomorrow. Looking at pretty good chance of rain tomorrow night, even into Thursday maybe.
But after Thursday, it looks pretty good for the rest of the weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, the weekend, yeah it does look good. It's going to move out and allow the high pressure to move back in and stabilize us for a great weekend. So if we can just ride out the next couple days, we'll be okay.
And it shouldn't be too bad. It's not going to, I think, flood anything out, so we'll get some rain. And hopefully it won't hit during the air show, but if it does, that's happened before, and we'll deal with it and move on.
Let's just have enough to keep the dust down. That's all I need.
Oh,
there you go.
Good idea.
There you go.
It'll make me happy.
So we were talking about the Weather Service and forecasting for aviation and all the different services that the Weather Service provides. You know, it's not just one center that's doing aviation stuff. We've got 122 forecast offices around the U.S. And most people are familiar with those that are issuing the warnings and doing the high temperature forecast for your local city or town. But they also do forecast for over 600 airports around the U.S. And those are TAF forecasts.
Okay.
And they do those 24 hours, 7 days a week. 122 offices doing 600 airports. So that's a lot of work that they're doing there.
Round-the-clock forecasting.
Round-the-clock forecasting. And then anyone who's flying has probably talked to air traffic control. At each one of those air traffic control centers, the en route centers, there's 21 of those that have a Weather Service unit in them. So whenever you're talking to a controller, there's a meteorologist behind them, advising them, talking to them about what the weather's doing and how it may impact certain aircraft or certain areas of airspace and trying to keep everyone safe up there.
So after we were off air yesterday, we were talking about when the airplane leaves the ground, it goes through a series of different people that are guiding it, basically.
Right. Yeah, you get out of the airport tower, controls you. You get up, and they hand you over to the terminal radar control approach center. They have you for a few miles and for a few thousand feet, and then they hand you off to one of the 21 en route setters. And each one of those, you know, different types of flight and different phases of flight are impacted by the weather a little bit differently. Certainly anything that's, you know, arriving or taking off is going to be very impactful to the airport and what's going on at the airport and other aircraft trying to get into a final approach or trying to land and work around the weather and other aircraft. Once you get in route, it's a little bit easier. They can space them out and manage them a little bit. But you would think all the space up there in the air, and there's only about 7,000 or 8,000 aircraft that are being managed by air traffic control over the continental U.S. at any time. And you think 8,000 aircraft over the entire U.S., it should be no problem. But most of those are focused around the high metropolitan areas, New
More
York, Chicago,
areas, yeah.
The hub areas. And ironically, they stick to very, very small jetways, airways that
yep.
the air traffic controllers keep them on. And they can't really divert too much from those. So even if there's a thunderstorm that pops up on a route, you know, just to go around it takes a lot of coordination with a lot of aircraft,
okay.
a lot of controllers to make sure everyone knows where that aircraft's going, where the storm's going in relation to that, and trying to keep everyone safe.
So is it easier for a pilot to actually try and guide the plane through the storm than to go around it?
Well, you don't ever want to fly through a thunderstorm.
Not on purpose.
People do, and they usually end up on the ground. There's been a lot of experienced pilots. Just a couple years ago in Georgia, we had a pilot with a world-renowned pilot with over 40 years flying experience, flew right into a thunderstorm in a small aircraft and crashed, and everyone on board was killed. So experience doesn't always help. You know, if you can't see where the main part of the thunderstorm is, if you don't have onboard radar, that's where you
right.
got to really rely on the air traffic controller to be able to look at the weather he's seeing on or she is seeing on their radar. And where the aircraft is in relation to that, and tell the pilot to go left or right or up or down to avoid that storm.
And radar isn't a future cast. It's like what's going on right now.
It's going on
so
what's
it's
right now.
So it's hard to forecast anything that's...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the most incredible lightning storms I ever saw in my life was from an airplane. Looking down, the storm was below us when I was flying to Texas in April.
Pretty neat,
out of
huh?
Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I was just in awe. Like, I wanted to wake everybody up on the plane because it was nighttime so they could watch out the window because it was amazing. Like, you could see the cloud tops just lit up like heaven. Like,
it's really beautiful.
It was so
yeah.
pretty, but I was really thankful that we were safely over and kind of, I guess, we would have been west of the storm.
And it was a lot more than just your pilot taking care of you that day.
Yeah.
There was the controllers and the meteorologists behind the controllers all working
and
as a team.
And the AWC.
The Aviation Weather Center, absolutely. We're there 24/7, even Christmas, holidays, there to make the world safe for aviation.
Awesome.
Where exactly does the Aviation Weather Center go in line with the weather forecast for, or in flight for the pilots?
Well, primarily our focus is the en route phase of a flight. So we're, you know, where people are concerned about icing aloft or turbulence. Certainly the airlines want their customers to have a smooth ride. But we also do a lot of surface weather forecasting. I mentioned that the 122 weather forecast offices do those 600 TAFs. Well, a TAF is only a forecast for a 5-mile circle around the airport. So every part of the U.S. that doesn't have an airport in one of those 600 five-mile circles, the Aviation Weather Center provides a forecast of surface winds and surface weather and IFR, MVFR, or VFR sky cover. For anyone who may be landing at a small field that doesn't have a TAF forecast produced for it. So
TAF being turbulent air?
TAF being terminal aerodrome forecast.
Okay.
Fancy way of saying airport forecast.
Okay. Trying to break it down for the layman's here. Define also, when you say surface air, what's the height that the surface technically would go to?
We're really concerned about anything below 1,000 feet.
Okay.
We will speak to things up to about 3,000 or 4,000 feet, even 6,000 feet, but really... That 3,000 to 1,000 becomes a little bit critical, and that's the marginal VFR conditions, and then the instrument flight rules conditions, IFR, is anything below 1,000 feet as viewed from the surface.
Okay. And earlier we were talking about density altitude.
Yeah.
Does that affect the height also?
Well, density altitude affects the altimeter setting that a pilot will adjust the altimeter in their aircraft. And as that density altitude changes, whether it be to atmospheric temperature changes or density changes of the atmosphere, which just if the temperature stays the same, but you get more moisture into the atmosphere and increasing relative humidity decreases the density of the atmosphere. And so that value changes. And if it changes significantly, the altimeter setting that you put in there could be off by anywhere from a few feet to a few hundred feet.
Okay.
And you certainly don't want to be coming in, even on a sunny day like this, and thinking you're a lot higher than you really are, because you usually find out the hard way, hitting the ground a little bit sooner than expected. So.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to judge the distance just when you're coming in.
Yeah.
You rely on things like your altimeter.
And a lot of people, it's funny you ask that. You know, a lot of people think, oh, sunny skies like today, light winds, it's easy to fly in, and it is certainly easier than the bad weather, but things like keeping track of your density, altitude, and altimeter settings, you've always got to have an idea of what those things are and how the weather can, what you're doing when you're flying is you're flying in the weather, even if it's nice weather, so you've always
got to be aware. There's always weather.
Always weather.
Weather or not.
The weather never takes a break. Well, for tomorrow, with the moisture moving in and the temperature is still going to be high, the density altitude will be a factor.
Density altitudes will be changing.
Will need to be adjusted.
Adjusting altimeter settings, absolutely.
To accommodate for that. So we're going to enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. We're going to pray for the best for tomorrow and Thursday.
I think we'll get through it all right.
I think so, too. Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, just enough to keep the dust down. I'll be okay with that. You know, comparison to last year, I think these 2 days will be...
Yeah, if we made it through last year.
Through Sloshkosh.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be good for the next. And then, like I said, after Thursday, we're looking for the sun to come back out. Really nice weekend. Looking forward to that. So we have a lot of air show left to enjoy.
We do.
Absolutely.